I want you to turn to the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 4. 1 Peter, chapter number 4. And we're going to be looking, we're going to zero in on verse number 11. And I'm not going to take time to read the whole chapter again. Only there are only 19 verses there. And but I do want to bring us up to a point here from Sunday, and that is that on Sunday I mentioned the intrinsic glory of God. Amen? What does that mean? It means the glory that He possesses within Himself, His own being. Amen? His glory. And tonight I want to move on to another kind of glory that belongs to Him. And so if you'll look with me, please, I'm going to let you be seated, and we'll look together, beginning in verse number 6. He said, "For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch and pray." I couldn't help but think about that verse tonight as a missionary from India was speaking to us, Brother Pratt. And I was thinking, you know, America is only maybe one election away from the same thing that they're going through in India. If God's people don't get out and vote and do the thing that we are supposed to do, we're going to lose this country. And so let's remember that. And he said, "And above all things, have fervent charity," or love, "among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as to the ability of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom he praise, be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." I just want to stop there and point out to you, he said, if any man speak, let him speak of the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God... Why do we have the gifts that we have? To give back to God. Amen. What you have and what we have tonight, it didn't come because that we earned it. Many people have developed their talents. Amen. But it is a God-given talent for a reason. And it is to minister for the glory of God. And that's what's lacking in a lot of churches tonight. And he said that in all things, God may be glorified through Christ, Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice," amen, "rejoice that you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first began at us, what shall the end be to them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their soul to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator." I'm glad that the keeping of my soul is not in my own hands. Amen. Amen. I grew up in a home believing that you could lose your salvation. Consequently, I never got saved till I was 24 years old because I had the opinion all along I couldn't keep it. I couldn't live up to it. And so why even try? Amen? And so that's the way a lot of people are today. But I want to talk to you tonight after we pray on this matter. Father, I pray, dear God, that you'd bless and have your way in spite of the man that stands in this pulpit tonight. I pray, dear God, that you'd get honor and glory for yourself, dear God. Lord, if I know my heart tonight, and I really don't know my heart, but God, you do. And you know, Lord, that I just want you to be honored. I want you to get glory, dear God. And so I pray, dear Lord, in the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior, that you would honor your own word, honor your spirit, honor yourself, dear God, and may the Lord Jesus Christ get all the glory for what's said and done here tonight in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, now, we've talked about the intrinsic glory of God. Amen. That's what he possesses within himself. Nothing that you and I have added to, but it is God's glory. Amen. What he has always had in his existence. And he is eternal. Amen.
That's right.
And so God has his own purposes in the existence of every person, every man, and every woman. God wants us to know the new birth from above. Amen. It is not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants us to know the meaning of our salvation. Amen. You know, some people get saved and they never grow. They never go forward. It seems like they just don't mature spiritually. Amen. And so he wants us to know the meaning of our salvation. He wants us to be filled with his Holy Spirit. Amen.
Yes.
To be filled with his Holy. He wants us to know the meaning of worship.
Amen.
Those are some things that God wants us to know. And he wants us to reflect the glory of the one who has called us unto his marvelous light.
Right.
He wants us to know these things. You know, so what are we ascribing to a lost and hurting world of the glory of God? What do they see when they look at us? Preacher, you're right. People ought to be wondering what's going on in this building. Amen? But it's not what's going on in this building that's going to make the difference. It's what's going on out there in front of them all. Amen? That's what makes the difference. And so if we fail in this respect, then it'd have been better that we'd never been born. And the facts are plain. There is no turning back after that we've been born from above. There's no turning. Pardon me. No turning back. We are responsible and we are accountable to God. Amen. And so it's tragic, and how tragic it is to be a barren fig tree. Amen. You look at that story, I've looked at that so many times, and I thought, you know, it was supposed to have fruit on it. It had leaves, it looked like it was in season, it looked like it was ready, it looked good, but it didn't have the fruit. It's like a lot of Christians and a lot of church members today, they look good on the outside, but there's no fruit when you examine beyond the leaves, amen. And so, it's awful to know that God intended for us to mirror the beautiful light of his glory, only to have to confess we are shattered and useless as reflectors. Amen? I used to drive a truck, and I had reflectors on the back of the truck. Every once in a while, a rock may hit one of them, or you may back into something, and it shatters. It's no good anymore. It's lost its glitter. It's lost its purpose. And you're not going to lose your salvation, my friend, but you may lose the reason of your salvation. You may lose the splendor that God puts upon you. Amen.
That's all that's
Amen. And so there is no limit to what God can do through us if we are His yielded and purified people, worshiping and showing forth His glory and His faithfulness. Amen. We're not up here to show our abilities. We're not up here to perform. Amen. I believe this with all my heart. If you know, we learned this in school, Brother Andy, you and I were there about the same time, and we learned that, you know, if you, you just open your mouth and God will fill it. Amen. Yeah, we learned that, and that's true. But you better have had something to, before you got there, amen. You better have something to put in your mouth, or you may get your foot in your mouth, amen. And so we're not here to perform, and I do believe this, that we ought to be able to be instant in season and out of season to reprove and rebuke and to do all the things that God has called us to do without having to say, well, now, wait a minute, I got to go practice. Huh? You better have practiced before you got here. Amen. You know, I'm not of that that old adage of now we're going to try to sing. Pray for us while we try to sing. Type singing. You know, there's no use to pray for you if you haven't gotten ready. Amen. I preached on preparation for prayer. How that Jehoshaphat made preparation for prayer. And so we need to be prepared for prayer. What if you come up on, we need to be prepared at all times. We've talked about being conscious of the presence of God at all times. What if you come up on an accident out here? There's nobody else around. People are lying at your feet dying. Who was it that said the other day they saw 5 young people die? It was someone that was here. Yeah, you. Amen. The pastor, amen. I had the same experience one time. I worked at the McDonnell Aircraft in St. Louis. I was on my way home. I worked the second shift. It was midnight. And we came up on an accident. And there were 7 teenagers in that car. A 4-door sedan. And a gentleman in a station wagon had a seizure. And somehow, he shoved the gas pedal all the way to the floor. And the highway patrol said he must have been doing 110 miles an hour when he hit that other car. 7 teenagers laid out at my feet. There wasn't any time to get my heart right. Amen. Every one of those teenagers died. I wish I could have said more to them, but they couldn't hear me. But supposing you come upon an accident and there's an opportunity, are you going to have to get your heart right before you can witness to them about the love of Jesus? Amen? It's the Holy Spirit of God who is the witness in us and through us. Amen? It is He who honors and glorifies the Father and the Son. Amen? And He's ready to work. But He needs a vessel to work through. And if the vessel's dirty, friend, it's not going to work. Amen. And so we need to be ready. That glorifies the Lord. Now, why should we glorify the Lord? That's the question. Why should we worry about glorifying the Lord? Well, we don't have to worry about it, friend, because God's already taken care of it. Amen. Why must we glorify Him? You may say, well, that's a dumb question. We do it because He's God. Amen. Well, but may I ask you, when you think of God, what do you see Him as? Huh? What do you see Him as? You see Him as a dictator? Do you see Him as a judge? Someone always saying no. The illustration one time, a little boy got up in the pulpit, you know, and he pulled a chair up and he got up in the pulpit and he's beating the pulpit and saying, no, 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 no. Sometimes that's all we hear from a lot of pulpits, amen. Thank God it's not that way here. But someone's always saying no. Someone bigger than you, huh? If you think about God as being someone that's bigger than you, He is bigger. He's bigger than all of us. He's bigger than all the creation, amen? Amen. He made it all. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And without Him was not anything made that was made. He made it all, amen. That was His glory, His intrinsic glory working and creating all of what we heard about the other day about the different planets and the stars and all of that and all of the beauty of creation. That's part of His intrinsic glory. That's what He reflected. But the zenith of His creation is sitting right here. Mankind. And He wants us to reflect His beauty. He wants us to reflect His glory. Amen. And you cannot reflect the glory of God with this flesh. It can only happen as the Holy Spirit of God generates in our spirit and causes us to illuminate. We like the moon is to the sun. The moon has no power to shine. We say, oh, isn't it a beautiful moon? Look how bright it is. Look how it's shining tonight. And what you're seeing is a reflection of the sun, the S-U-N. And what people see of God is a reflection in you and me of the capital S-O-N. Amen. None of us have the ability to be brilliant in our own sense. None of us have the ability to show forth the glory of God without Him. You cut off your relationship with God by quenching the Holy Spirit and grieving the Holy Spirit, and you have cut off your ability to reflect the Son of God. Amen. And so, think about it tonight. Why should we glorify Him? First of all, because He's the one who gave us our very being. You wouldn't be here tonight if it wasn't for Him. I wouldn't be here tonight. It's He that made us and not we ourselves. He breathed the breath of life into us. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, when He breathed the breath of life into the body that He made and called Adam. But may I say to you tonight that every breath you take and every breath that I take is the breath of life that God breathes in us. You stop breathing, you stop living. Amen. And as a Christian, you and I need the breath of life that only can come from Him. And that's what glorifies Him. He drew our breath from, we draw our breath from Him and His life. The comforts of life are from Him, and every good and every perfect gift is from the Father above. Amen. It's by Him that we live and have our existence. He's the very substance of our life. Amen. He, it is. If God rested for 1 minute, all of creation would stop. If God just said, I'm just going to take some time off, we'd all be gone. Amen. Well, God put us here to be to the praise of His glory. Amen. The second reason that we should glorify God is because God has made all things for His glory. Amen. He tells us that in Proverbs 16, verse 4. If we don't give Him His glory, He'll get it upon us. In Exodus chapter 14, verse 17, He said, I beheld I behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon the chariots and upon his horsemen. They wouldn't glorify him any other way. Moses went, gave the message to Pharaoh. God said, let my people go. And Pharaoh laughed at him and scorned him and did all kinds of things. And finally, God said, okay, it's enough. It's enough. Amen. And God will warn you, and God will send people to warn you, and God will warn you from His Word, and God will warn you from His Holy Spirit that lives within you. If you're a born again child of God, God will warn you, and if you don't listen, He'll get glory. He'll get glory. Amen. It's true. We can't add to His glory, but we can exalt it a lot more than we do. Amen. God has adopted the saints into His family and made them a chosen generation. He has made us to be a royal priesthood, that they should show forth the praise of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We should glorify God, number three, because the glory of God is of great value and excellence. It transcends the thoughts of men beyond our comprehension. It transcends the tongues of angels. Even the heavenly language of the angel lacks words to describe it. His glory is His treasure, and all His riches lie here. As Micah said, what have I more? So what has God more? Amen. His glory is worth more than heaven. Think about that. His glory is worth more than all the salvation of all men. But He laid His glory aside and came, humbling Himself, taking upon Himself a body of flesh and dying upon an old rugged cross. It'd be better that kingdoms and nations be cast down, better that men and angels be annihilated, than God lose one jewel of His crown, all one ray of His glory. Creatures below us and above us bring glory to God. And do we think that we can sit back and do nothing? The birds, the animal kingdom, they all do what God put them here to do. We heard about the ox this morning. Amen. The ox. The sacrifice. And God put us here to be a sacrifice unto Himself. Amen. Well, creatures below us glorify God. Creatures in heaven glorify God. The beauty of heaven, the workmanship of heaven, the stars and the moon and the planets, they all glorify the Lord. Pardon me. If we consider the firmament, how beautiful, how that God has penciled out in blue and azure colors where the power and the wisdom of God are clearly seen. Everybody worries about the planets running together, colliding. We're going to be destroyed by an asteroid, you know, all of these things that we hear. In all of these years, it's never happened. God's in control. And if it were not for God, this planet would have been destroyed a long time ago because of sin. Amen. But God in His mercy, and God in His grace, and God in His glory, and for His glory's sake, redeem mankind and saved our soul. Well, God has honored man even above the angels. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 7 says, man is a little lower than the angels, but in regards to redemption, we're set higher than the angels. He has espoused us to himself, making us his bride, while the angels are only his friends. I'm going to tell you something. When God puts a man and a woman together in holy marriage, when it's of God, there's nothing like it. Amen? There's no describing it. And the same is true, but can you imagine what it's going to be like to be the bride of Christ? I can't begin to comprehend that. But I know that when my bride scoots up against my arm and I feel her presence, there's a peace that is indescribable, because I know she's there by my side. She's there for me. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, whenever we scoot up next to our bridegroom, whenever that time comes and we are by his side, and where is he? Seated at the right hand of the Father on high. Amen. And that's where you and I are going to be seated, next to him. I can't even begin to describe the glory of it. I can't find the words. But I know it's true, because he said so. Well, we must bring glory to God, because all of our hopes hang upon him. Psalm 67 and verse 5 said, my expectation is from him. And again in Psalms he said, my hope is in thee. I expect all my needs in this world to be met in him. Amen. The song that was sung a few minutes ago, it's all in him. Amen. I expect a mansion. You say, preacher, you expect a lot. I only expect it because it's been given.
Right.
Amen. And he's never backed down on a promise yet. Amen. And he said, I go to prepare a place for you. Amen. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. He did not say many rooms. Aren't you glad for that?
Yes, sir.
I appreciate the good motel. I'm enjoying staying at the motel. I'm enjoying the comfort of it. But the other night there was a basketball team there. I think they got in Brother Cloud's room.
No.
I'm glad it's not going to be a motel. I'm glad I'm not going to just get a room in heaven, but that'd be all right. Amen?
Amen.
We heard the song years ago that, Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of Glory Land. Well, I don't even deserve that, but I'm thank God that that's not what it's going to be. It's going to be a mansion. Amen?
Amen.
A mansion. I expect a mansion from him. John 14. I expect to rule in a kingdom from him. A child that is good-natured will honor his parent by expecting all his needs from that parent. What kind of glory would it be to me if my child came out to you to get your needs to be met? He meets them all. He meets them all. I can honestly say, as I stand here and God is my witness, and we heard a lie is an abomination. Amen. And it is. But I can honestly say, as I stand here, I've never depended on a church to take care of my needs. In 56 years, I've never depended upon a church to take care of my needs. I depend upon him.
Amen.
Amen. He'll take care of my needs. and he's never let me down. And I can honestly say with the psalmist, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. And I'm not thinking it's going to happen. Amen. But if it does, it'd be all right because it wouldn't last very long. I'd be with him. Amen. David said, all my springs are in thee. If you think about what that means, all my springs are in thee. We have a Bible camp at our church down the road a ways. It's 180 acres. It's called Living Springs Bible Camp. There's a spring almost as big as this room that flows constantly. It's wonderful. There's water. And man has to have water. You can go, you know, starvation doesn't begin until about the 11th, about the 10th or the 11th day. But you can't go past 3 days without water. Ordinarily. There might be a miraculous thing happen, but for the most part, 3 days, and you'll be dehydrated to the point you can't go on. Well, the silver spring of grace and the golden springs of glory are in him. Drink from this well and you'll never thirst. Drink from the water that he has and you'll never be thirsty. He is a well of water springing up within us.